Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing? What a sweet moment to be alive. Sweet, sweet, sweet. We're about to have some of the years of the most intense I told you so moment in human history, where we are seeing some everything that we've predicted is happening. Europe is falling. Europe is falling as a nation of rights. Right in front of our eyes. Susan Wojcicki dies today. The woman behind the empire of YouTube, behind the transformation of YouTube into a police of speech. She lived just long enough to see the beginning of the crumble of her legacy. She is the one who has turned the internet into a terrorizing gulag. And she's dead now. Man, sometimes the universe gives us these sweet little gifts. Today I was programming. I was having the biggest fun of my life programming a hook in my game. It's a hook that you throw 20 meters in front of you. The hook does... And then you can pull the other player. The physics of this is just so fun. The player loses control of his character and poof, he's being pulled. I love this. Meanwhile, Milo Yiannopoulos is losing his shit, proving once again that right wing or left wing, there's a bunch of Jews who don't care. They will all reuse the false allegations against me year after year, election season after election season. It's always going to be a Jew, and it's always going to be recycling falsehoods. And this year, they sent me Milo Yiannopoulos, bringing back the old allegations against me that I could be a murderer, or that maybe I killed someone, maybe I didn't, but like it looks like, oh! And it never stops, but... At this point, they've sent me all of the Jews that they have. Like, you go back to 2016. These false allegations stem from a collaboration between Destiny, Jewish, and Kaylee Whale from The Daily Beast, Jewish. They are repeated years after by other Jews, down to a year ago approximately, Gad Saad. Gad Saad, the Jew, brings back these allegations on Twitter out of nowhere. And now Milo Yiannopoulos is losing his shit. I blocked him on Twitter because it's really not productive to be denying allegations that all of the people who follow me, they know. I've been talking about this over and over again. I've never done anything wrong in my life. I've never committed a murder. I've never beaten someone. I've never raped a 9-year-old. And yet they all come and the way they change the little details of it, it's fascinating. It's like a telephone game. Even the reliability of the original lie doesn't even survive. So in 2016, that was that I had raped an adult woman who was mentally 12 years old. Now, in the mouth of Milo Yiannopoulos, I have raped a 9-year-old. Somewhere out of nowhere, a 9-year-old has appeared in this allegation. A 9-year-old. I neither raped an adult, neither raped a 9-year-old, neither raped a 12-year-old. But it's very tiring to be always facing these waves of Jews because they discredit themselves. Because every time I encounter a Christian in my life, they want to sell me beef. They ask me how I'm doing. Maybe they push a little Jesus on me, but that's the most invasive they will be. But none of them cares about me having sex with women. That's something that they're not annoyed about. They want my happiness. But every time I encounter a Jew, it's for this kind of reshaking of past lies. And it's like, at this point, my Jew log is long. It's you guys don't help yourself. Credit to Abacus for the title of Tonight's show because he said on Twitter, can't cancel the cancer. I think it's fascinating as a title. Can't cancel cancer. CCC, very rare that you can make a sensical phrase from three words that start with the same letter. But can't cancel cancer. Because Wojcicki was beaten by cancer. And before she was beaten, she saw basically the overtake of the internet by Elon Musk and probably knew before she died that her legacy would be forgotten one day. That we wouldn't move on from what she tried to establish as a Soviet-style gulag with the internet. Susan Wojcicki being from a family of Jews who have immigrated from the Soviet Empire, who were very political and who continued being political in the U.S. Her sister is the one gathering genetic information from everyone in the U.S. at 23andMe. So it's a fascinating news. She has destroyed lives. Like, I really shit on her tomb in this case. Sometimes I'm being provocative when someone dies, you know, and I'm adding a layer of peanut butter over it. But in this case, I truly despise this human being, Susan Wojcicki. She has destroyed lives. She has put her weight in the balance so that pro-white voices would be silenced. She is truly an active agent of anti-white sentiment and anti-white institutional power. And, you know, someone was saying on Twitter, hell has gotten a little worse today. She dilutes even hell. Even hell, the standard that she brings there is at another level. Even hell is worse today. Barnaby Brito says, you can go full Falardo on her. Yeah, I would have liked. When I tweeted, this is to show you just how much chilling effect the laws on free speech have. What I wanted to tweet was, go to hell, trash bag. Just like Falardo. Go to hell, trash bag. But I thought, you know, go to hell, trash bag might actually trigger some Canadian investigation, might lead some sort of shadow banning by Elon. And so I didn't say it. That's the level. We're not free. We're not free still. And it's largely because of people like Susan Wojcicki, because we used to be free on the internet. The internet used to be a genuine revolution. By the way, today I made a joke and people started insulting me. I said, can I get a physiognomy check on this duo? Look at these guys, Paul Town and Keith Woods. I mean, to me, they are very special. And I didn't mean it like, can I get a physiognomy check? These guys are not truly white. Or I didn't even mean that they're bad or bad looking. In fact, I think they're awesome looking. But the whiteness of this is like, oh my God, that is exciting. And so I said, can I get a physiognomy check? What I expected is people would answer, two normal white men looking good. But people took offense and they started insulting me on Twitter. Calm down, guys. Can we? Like, I'm just chilling on Twitter. Sometimes I'm tweeting something that comes out of my head. It's not always an insult. And people started comparing me to them. I'm not even claiming that I'm more beautiful than them. They are beautiful, you know, stunning men, but they have a certain look about them. And the pair of them regrouped like this, it looks like they're auditioning for a Tim Burton movie. I mean, this reminds me of the Addams Family. And, you know, this very white skin, porcelain skin. I love it. But I just wanted to be positive. But on Twitter, people take offense very quick. And just to show you how exciting the times are, Monday is going to be massive. Monday is the official beginning of actions in the Groyper War 2. And man, the clips are exciting. The plan that Nick Ferrantes seems to be laying out is exciting. He says that activities will start on Twitter and Truth Social. And at the same time, we have indications that seem that the Elon Musk interview of Trump will be on Twitter. Now, if that happens, there will be a possibility for the Groypers to bring attention to questions. And Nick Ferrantes seems to be totally prepared for this. He will be sending emails and sending, you know, sheets of instructions and of what are the demands to the Trump campaign. And he's going to have basically soldiers of the Groyper army make noise about it. And they can make a lot of noise, especially online. This is not, he says it's not going to be like the Charlie Kirk days where we go line up in a real event. They may do this, but it's going to start on the internet. And Monday we will start seeing massive hashtag campaigns and perhaps an attempt at throwing something at them, throwing a curveball at them during the Elon Musk interview. Perhaps in the chat, you know, how when the Groypers take over a chat, you can't ignore it. It's like, oh, well, 1,000 messages about this. Let's have a look at the other messages. Nicolas Fuentes points out, basically, he's being followed by people late. Influencers who have come out to criticize the Trump campaign since I declared Groyper War 2, Tim Pool, Laura Loomer, Ashley Sinclair, Sneeko, Candace Owens, John Zerka, Myron Gaines. Everyone agrees the campaign is in trouble. Monday we will do something about it. Wow. And yes, that is true. All of these people are joining. And I would even include Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan dissociated from the Trump campaign by siding with RFK Jr. Now, he did this a few days before Nick Ferrantes announced Groyper War, but it's all participating to a movement. There will be pressure on Trump like there never was before. Altered Crates has made a video that, man, this guy, it's like he made a video for me. I love the Nick Ferrantes IDs in this campaign, and I love the Joker movie. He made a mix of the two. That is absolutely fascinating. Let's have a look at his edit.
I told you last night, and prepare yourself, we're going to have to be the villain. I am going to have to be the villain, and you're going to have to be okay with that.
Yes!
You're going to have to suck it up and deal with it. We may be disavowed. We may be disavowed. All the way at the top or down below. We will be attacked. We will be called plants, Democrats. We will be disavowed, but that is what we have to do. That's the only way to change things. Things have gone on this way for too long. Prepare yourself. We're going to have to be the villain. I am going to have to be the villain. I am going to have to be the villain. I am going to have to be the villain.
This is such good music from the Joker movie and such a fine understanding. Yeah, it's a little bit of what I've done in my life. I've accepted to be the villain. In my public contribution. It's been going well. It's been going well. You have to have a heart that can endure hate, and I do. But yeah, so if you're not the villain, you're just a cheerleader. That's the problem. If you're not the villain, you can't balance out the direction of the world toward another one. So you're just sliding with everyone. And most people cannot, they they cannot support being the villain. They cannot endure the social rejection. Quebecensis says, I support Nick. He's been right on this. Yes, he's been right on this, yes. On Monday, Gripers are going to revolutionize the Trump campaign. That is another clip from Fuentes.
On Monday, we're going to be beginning the campaign. Tonight, it's a little more of a casual show. I'm just sort of reacting to some of the reaction, laying out a little bit more of the case now that we know the plan. And Monday, I'll be unveiling the plan. We'll be doing an action. We are going to be on Truth Social. We're going to be on Twitter. We're going to be creating hashtags. So make sure you have your accounts. We're going to be sending emails. So make sure you have a burner email account. I have the emails of Trump campaign staff. And this is literally just it hasn't even started. Monday is literally the beginning of the beginning. It hasn't even started. In the past 24 hours, we took over the top four hashtags on Truth Social. We got a spot on MSNBC. Pieces in...
Yeah, and by the way, it's been covered in Newsweek. The Groyper War Newsweek is like, yeah, you know, the far right is going at Trump. So it's working. There will be a big amount of eyes on this. Newsweek already covering it as it has not even begun. Every event that will be caused is going to be further annoyance for the Trump campaign.
New Republic and Newsweek. 30,000 mentions on Twitter. It hasn't even started. 8 million views on my tweet declaring the war. It hasn't even started. So Monday, I'm doing the show. We're going to review the Trump Elon Musk Twitter space, and we're going to be doing an action. We're going to light up Truth Social with hashtags. We're going to bombard the Trump campaign with emails. I'm going to tell you exactly what to say. We're going to lay out a template. We're going to...
All right. It sounds like Nick is very prepared. They will have demands. They will have goals that they want to reach, and they will adjust their behavior to this. So if Trump is responding positively, they will calm down and they will try to extend olive branches. If he's responding in an hostile fashion, they will up the pressure. That is the most organized mimetic campaign I've seen. And so I'm excited to see what Nick can pull on this, because in the end, Nick is a political agent of the U.S. who has no political home. I mean, his home is the Republican Party, but it's a home that's rejecting him constantly. Saturn Shine says, Nick is so important that Megyn Kelly dissed him. Oh yeah, she dissed him by saying, I don't even want to listen to what he has to say. What the fuck, woman? You are a public speaker? And you're like, oh yeah, there's these people. I just bar them in my head without even considering their IDs. Okay, that's exactly how Susan Wojcicki wants you to think. And that's exactly the legacy that Susan Wojcicki would have left if it wasn't of the Elon takeover of Twitter, which has brought back based possibilities. And today, Elon is particularly based, which leads to an interesting question. If Elon is now tweeting about everything white-related and basically white identitarianism at this point, will he be ultimately the voice of Fuentes toward Trump? Because Elon Musk is going to interview Trump or be in a Twitter space with Trump. Is it possible that we will have a channeling of Nick through Elon? Because look at the brazenness of Elon, particularly today. This is a Gab post, it seems. White people have been taught that white people are evil and everyone else is good. Non-white people have been taught that white people are evil and everyone else is good. That's not divide and conquer, that's kill whitey. And so a classic Gab post that has been retweeted a lot. And Elon Musk says, true. We have the situation of Tyler K, who went to prison and lost his house for copying a post on X Tyler was sentenced to 38 months in prison for copying a post made on X by Lucy Connolly, the wife of a conservative counselor, calling for mass deportation. Elon says that is messed up. And he also tweets about Mr. Bean. You know your civilization is done when the fight for free speech in the UK relies on a mute man, Mr. Bean, who has been acting a mute character who never speaks but who just makes faces. Anyways, he's part of the anti-Section 5, Reform Section 5 campaign, and he does a great speech. He's not mute, I'm just kidding. It's his character that is mute. Rowan Atkinson is pretty intelligent, says Tim Cook. Yes, he is. He's playing dumb with Mr. Bean. Elon Musk says, in relation to William Nelson Morgan, a 69-year-old retiree with no criminal history, the oldest anti-mass migration English riot arrestee to be convicted so far. He was sentenced to 2 years and 8 months in prison for refusing to disperse and holding a stick at a library riot in Walton, West Yorkshire on August 4. And Elon says, messed up. Yeah, that is messed up. I mean, we have a two-tier justice system clearly exposing itself in the UK. Literally, he could have raped. a child. And he would have done less time. think about it. Do you really want to go to that protest? Or, you know, you could just rape a child and spend less time in prison. Rudy Lucid says, imagine you're not a citizen. You are not located in the UK. The servers are not located in the UK. You tweet something and can get arrested if you land in the UK, in Canada, in Australia. There should be a travel warning not to go to these countries while they are under authoritarian rule. Absolutely. People like me are very much aware of this. My rights are constantly being violated. I cannot travel because I have a show with opinions. It's ridiculous because this is all in countries that are supposed to be the lighthouse of free speech in the world. It's supposed to be the shining light on the mountain, the West, showing authoritarian regimes how it's done. And yet it's not happening. And holy basedness, Elon is going totally into JF territory here. He's harassing gay people on Twitter, asking them, do you plan to have babies? Oh, that is my favorite. Douglas Murray, the gay pro-Israeli intellectual, I will put it in quotation mark because he's just one of these guys who recycles a lot of talking points from the far right, but he rebrews them with the Hebrew brew. He kosherizes them. He makes them palatable for the Jewish interest. And he had said, thank you to everyone who has helped push the strange death of Europe, immigration, identity, Islam, back into the bestsellers list. And Elon Musk totally on point here because The death of Europe is because of a lack of baby making on the white side. And so Elon says, do you plan to have kids? I'm sure that when Elon wrote this, he knows that Douglas Murray is gay. So is he suggesting that gay people should reproduce by having a deal maybe with an insemination deal, something like this? Or is he suggesting that he should just give up homosexuality and totally convert to heterosexuality? I don't know. But talking about gays, there is Milo, as I've mentioned at the beginning of the show. Milo is becoming in such a sad state, I've blocked him on Twitter because he's coming back with false allegations from years ago, all of which I've denied. And, you know, the older these allegations get, the more ridiculous they are. The idea that I could have gotten away with murder with Mama JF a month after, maybe it made sense. A year after, you think in a super limited geographical area like where we live, with cameras everywhere, and you know, there's not many exits from the countryside where I live. You have to pass through bridges, through, you know, places where you get filmed. There would have been no way for me to kill Mama JF, yet he's coming out with these videos and say, oh my God! It's like, you can repeat, oh my God, 15 times in front of a false allegation. It's still false. There's nothing else that I have to tell to these people. It's, you are basing your emotional reactions on inventions of your mind. And it's so sad for someone who claims to be, you know, some kind of journalist, some kind of public information bearer of some kind, to fall so low. Because, I mean, at this point, even if you were to destroy JF, I'm in a small show on Odyssey. I have very small impacts in the culture. It's like you have nothing to gain with these lies. So what is it? It truly is this bigotry of the Jew. It's, they really hate it when white people reproduce, and they will hate it down to the last white person. And they hate someone who stands for heterosexuality. And that's what triggered him. It's that I was starting to talk about how, you know, Milo, it may be time for you to make babies. It's one thing to say I'm an ex-homosexual, but it's another thing to say I'm a legitimate biological father in a heterosexual relationship, because he keeps talking about this conversion to Christianity, which I called out from the beginning. It's basically a joke. It's a Jewish joke. It's not real. And it's what triggered him. It's the fact that I tried helping him in many Twitter replies. I was explaining to him, see, that's a woman. She's approaching you. That means she wants insemination. Time for you to become a father, Milo. And he took it bad. And so he spent the whole day today retweeting and, you know, posting false allegations about me, the idea that I had sex with a mentally retarded woman, completely false. The idea that she was found by the court to be 12-year-old or 9-year-old, as he says, completely false. The idea that she wasn't able to consent, completely false. And the idea that I killed Mama JF, completely false. I'm sure he's been saying other lies, but because he's blocked, I have limited exposition to these lies. Oh yeah, he's been tweeting a message of me, a tweet of me, but that I haven't written. So an invented tweet. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't write this. No, it's Milo that made it up. So he makes up stuff, makes up fake screenshots. I mean, he made me believe for a moment that my Twitter may have been hacked. I was like, holy shit, did I write this? I don't remember using these words. And no, I went back. That wasn't on my account. So he makes up false screenshots to try to bubble his crowds against me. But the fact is, it's so pathetic because Milo's crowd has become so small. It didn't even lead to a wave of hate. It's like, Milo, I'm getting more hate when I tweet about Millie Bobby Brown than when you tweet about me. That's how low you've become. There was a time where you were maybe 100 times bigger than me. At this point, I look at his tweets about me. they have lower exposure than my intellectual tweets, which don't seek to see drama. So people are calling out the, you know, this kind of unhealthy behavior of Milo by simply unsubscribing. And at this point, his crowd is extremely reduced. He's not even, like, I've blocked about 10 people from when his campaign of harassment started to now. That's all you can do, Milo? 10 alt accounts and meat puppets of yours coming to me? This doesn't feel like the internet I've known. You are irrelevant. You are irrelevant because, as you say yourself, although I can't use the words that you've used, because he used the F word to describe himself sometimes. But changing that word, I will paraphrase Milo here. No one needs an old gay guy. No one needs an old gay guy. And no one needs you at this point, Milo. Rodilacid says, Milo was the first one to get banned and censored in 2015 before the first Trump election. He's the first big account that Jack banned for a wrong thing. Back in the day, he was somebody. Oh yeah, back in the day, he was somebody. And I've covered things about Milo at times, some positive, some negative, because he's been having this princess behavior at times that I've kept him from truly leaving an intelligent legacy. But at this point, it's sad. It's sad because, you know, it's like, here I am being happy in life and caring about my descendants, caring about what matters the most in life, inseminating woman. And there he is, the theoretically new heterosexual, spending his days talking to Owen Benjamin about my dick. Like, you're not out of it, Milo. You're not out of it. You're still in it because you still talk about dicks all day long. Today you've talked about mine. Let's remind ourselves a little bit about Susan Wojcicki, who had decided that YouTube would be a tool of manipulation of the human mind, basically. That's the big conversion. Because YouTube, at the beginning, was a free market of video. That's what it was. And the algorithm was relatively unbiased, such that if the people consumed it, the algorithm was sending you to it. It was all a matter of, can you keep the attention of humans or are they uninterested? And this led to a full generation of YouTubers being fully trained at making long videos that are interesting, and it pushed the long form content. And Susan came in and decided that there were certain ideas that needed to be censored, and ultimately converted YouTube. Finding out that ultimately there are so many ideas that they wanted to censor, that the best way to do was to basically censor everyone by default and then pick out the winners. And that is a total inversion of what led to YouTube's success. It's the exact contrary of what you should do to keep a fair platform that keeps evolving with the times, because you're picking your authority, your black box AI that does this. At some point, it won't anticipate the next move. At some point, it won't quite get just how important blood sports are, or how opposition to the vaccine is, or how Nick Fuentes is important in politics. And that day is the day your company dies. Now, Elon Musk is on that road of leaving enough place for success, for original stuff to rise by itself, by its own quality. But here she explains basically what was the goal. It was behavioral retraining.
Could be helpful to people understanding where they're coming from.
I mean, we try to understand what are the...
So they're talking about opposition to the vaccine here.
Different ways that we can break through.
And she's talking about breakthrough. She's talking about, well, our response to the anti-vaccine content is we will try to analyze the branches of videos they consume and what leads to there. She wanted to stop the bleeding toward the right, the bleeding toward the anti-vaccine opposition. She totally failed.
So we talked about in this campaign that we did about getting back to the things that you love. We talked about, we had people that represented all different backgrounds. We had people like one.
She just asked, what do you do to understand the people who have an anti-vax opinion? Like, do you do any effort to understand what they have to say? And she's like, well, we had a campaign with a lot of diversity. And she shows pictures of black people. We had a campaign where even there was someone talking about her mom. And look at what they have her mom say.
One of them was actually featuring her mom talking about like how she was thinking about. So what we really tried to do was get not just from the experts, but also people that were not experts, but who were explaining like why did they take the vaccine? Why was that relevant for them? And what was their thought process? So, and that's a place where I believe YouTube can really shine, is having experts as well as just regular creators and people give their opinions.
And look at the campaign she had put together. The campaign was get back to what you love. It was literally the extortion campaign proposed by this psychotic Chinese woman on CNN who had said, we need to take something away from people and give it back only if they get the vaccine. That is literally the campaign, the strategy. Get back to what you love. In other words, we're going to withhold what you love until you get the vaccine. She has, in her participation to this Pfizer practice, she has participated to the most fascistic medical campaign that has ever happened in human history. Don't bring me the experimentation of the Nazis in World War II. That was on a handful of people. This is some, they've been involving billions of people in their experiment. Billions of people. Forced, billions of people intimidated, billions of people being separated from what they love and being told by the Susan Wojcickis of this world, you're only getting it back if you do what we want, and what we want happens to bring a lot of money to our friends at Pfizer. That was her role in the campaign, but even more largely, Susan Wojcicki has oppressed people like me and my family and my ability to sustain myself. And so they took what I built was a massive business of media that was very successful, that was changing the world, that was allowing us to move on to a new conception of the world, a new conception of ourselves as white people. And she totally destroyed it artificially. When there was demand for it, when I was winning the game on YouTube, I was winning out of the merit of my content, and people like me were also winning, and she artificially put her weight in the balance. I hope that she gets remembered forever as an evil, a very evil agent of anti-whiteness who has shut it down. Yes, DK Shadow. She shut it down. She shut down what was viable. And she replaced it with the kind of hyper-diversity crap that no one wants to consume. I don't know how long they can roll on their own success and the fact that they control a lot of normie outlets. But ultimately, YouTube will die. I want YouTube to die, and if it can happen in my lifetime, I will be reveling. But today, I am already happy because YouTube hasn't died, but one of the most evil people in it has died. Trump campaign says it has been hacked and blames Iran. This is another reason why I think the weekend will be exciting and Monday in particular will be extra exciting. Because A guy named Robert. Bob. Yeah, I call him Bob. A guy named Robert is in contact with Politico right now and is sending the leaked information from the hack. The Trump campaign has been hacked this afternoon, and we already start having a look into the documents that were hacked, and already Politico reports have it being in the possession of a 271-page document that was the research document that the Trump campaign did about J.D. Vance, underlining all of his weaknesses and all of his... And there's even a place of the document called potential vulnerabilities. So basically, the whole shebang of every possible ways you can attack J.D. Vance, researched by his own side, Politico has their hand on this document and potentially hundreds of others. So they are in contact with Robert. I don't know if they will decide to release them, if they will sort, maybe they will just analyze the document, because sometimes, you know, if they start making arguments that Iran was involved in the hack, and we already have Trump claiming that Iran is involved in the hack, and it's like, bro, one of your campaign members clicked on an email, on a phishing email. Like, oh my god, these fucking boomers. This is the consequence. This is the consequence when these people keep not hiring people like me, people like Nick Fuentes, people of the new generation who know something about fucking computers. No, what do they have? Roger Stone and J.D. Vance basically shaking into dementia. While they opened their email, they clicked on a fucking phishing email. That's not Iran, bro. that's a teenager in Ohio posing as a Nigerian prince. That's how low the hack is. Anyways, I think that this is an item that can deliver in the next few months, because Politico is going to be intelligent about it. They're probably going to want to confirm some info and then release a paper, release a blog 3 days later, release another article 3 days later. And it's going to keep stacking in the same way the Podesta emails, absolutely. Rodi Lucid says, Podesta also clicked on a phishing email, got Hillary's emails. It's not a hack if the person opens the door. Yeah, in my philosophy of hacking, it's not a hack, but they will call it a hack. And Trump is already trying to... I mean, Trump is showing just how unfit he is at this point as a geopolitical leader to be just believing these intelligence community crap around Iran. Oh, it's Iran. I mean, who told you this? Your computer analyst, your Jewish counselors, Jared Kushner knows that it's Iran. How do they know? Do you understand that you could even have an IP in Iran and it would still not stem from Iran? Do you understand that you could have an IP outside of Iran and it could or could not be Iran? Like you cannot possibly know. You can't know. You don't know. All we know is what Politico reports, that it's Roberts. Not a very Iranian-sounding name, let me tell you. I've never been to Iran, but I'd be surprised if there are many Roberts there. 8 cancer doctors were among the lives lost in the falling of the plane in Brazil, in the Brazil flight. 8 cancer doctors who dedicated their lives to saving others among the 62 passengers and crew dead on doomed Brazil flight that plunged from the sky and exploded in a fireball when they were on their way to a conference. So the falling of functionality of civilization. It has, it's a slippery slope. There's, you just have one plane falling, and then suddenly you have a couple of hospitals who don't have their cancer specialist anymore. And now you can't quite save people as much. And now the life expectancy of everyone goes down. That is what's fascinating with the competency crisis, is you don't need much. You don't need much of a mess before you're at the point where you're fighting zombies on the streets. Because there's no police to protect you. Oh, we're getting there, guys. We're getting there. We're getting to the point where survivalism matters. Ah, I love it. Matt Walsh makes my argument. At this point, we are at the point where Matt Walsh recycles my genocide argument from 2017, the argument against veganism, that you are trying to genocide the cows. You are trying to genocide the queen chicken. It never makes sense to me when people object to eating cows. You do realize that the species would almost certainly go extinct if humans stopping using them for food, right? And you realize that when all the cows are killed off by predators, it will be a death significantly more brutal and painful than what happens to them on a farm, right? Keep in mind that many predators do not bother to kill their prey before eating them. A cow killed for human consumption is dispatched with a quick bullet to the skull, painlessly. Well, it's rarely a bullet anymore, Matt. It's an electric shock most of the time. A cow killed by wolves, for example, will be torn apart and disemboweled while it's still alive. Cows are lucky that we eat them. My argument, ladies and gentlemen, all that's missing is a quote of me. Matt Walsh, what's his morals? He's a theocratic fascist. Apparently, theocratic fascists don't have to quote their sources. AF Post says Olympics court overturns a decision falsely disqualifying white Romanian athlete from medal in women's gymnastic finals. So they had, they had judged her feet to have gone outside of the bounds, and we saw it on the camera. It hadn't gone outside. It was clearly inside. But they had done this so that they can get three black women on the podium. And it's like, yeah, this is my life as a white man forever. Forever having to outperform the system, having to complain, having to get stuff reverted just to equalize the black competition, because they get their bonus points in interviews, they get their bonus points at school. This is life in Western civilization of affirmative action. But thankfully, I didn't know to which extent there was a possibility of reversal, because sometimes they have this policy that the judges, they declare the truth no matter what and you cannot review it. But in this case, they overturned it. So excellent. We end up having a white gymnast on the podium. And Keith Woods, this will be our last news item. Keith Woods is mentioning this anti-white hatred because people were celebrating, oh, the world without white people. And it's because like two or three of the winners are non-white in one discipline, maybe boxing. I don't know what that is. But in any case, people tweeted this and we're celebrating 4.5 million views, 129k likes. That's 129k likes. So they see three Asians somewhere and they're like, oh my God, oh, I'm liberated by white people. I feel relieved. There is no white people. As Keith Woods points out, social media gives us an insight into just how much seating genocidal anti-white hate exist. This can't be reasoned with or placated except by our own racial destruction. We can only make people aware that it exists and realize the future that awaits us if we embrace diversity. Diversity is an everlasting complaint until the full completion of the genocide of white people. Thank you.